Oh my gosh, it's so good. Yeah, so on Friday morning, 6:30 to 8, men, let's come together and join. We're going to do a four-week series. We've got a guy in the city. His name is Jay Huffman, and he has a ministry called Man Up, and he's going to be doing it. We're going to be launching some men's groups out of that, so we're going to have some fun. But without any further ado, the woman of the hour I want to introduce, because it is my honor to thank someone who is an extraordinary woman who has shown me what it means to be consistent and faithful. And not just because it's Mother's Day she is going to come up here and share. It's because she literally is the best. She has demonstrated to me what Jesus looks like, how he's constant and consistent with that which is called love. And I'm so grateful that she's believed in me, and I've never met someone who loves her kids like she does. And I'm sure every husband and father and man in this room could say the same, but my wife wins. And so, listen, you are going to be in for a treat. And I think, just as Zine said, let's show honor where honor is due. Can we thank my wife, Pastor Dana, and welcome her this morning as she shares the word of God with us today.
Good morning. Oh, sit down. Thank you, Grandpa, from the front row for the extra yell. Well, good morning. Welcome to Mother's Day. I just want to say good job to all the moms who got their kids dressed and who have, if you have littles and maybe they brought you breakfast. My husband and son, I don't like homemade breakfast. I love Starbucks. So they literally woke up before I did this morning, drove to Starbucks, got me a coffee, my little sandwich, and brought it home with flowers and everything is sitting out on the kitchen counter. I'm like, yes, I don't want breakfast and bread. Just go get me a latte, people. Just go get me a latte. So thanks, babe, and Jack, I love you this morning. But can I just tell you to the moms, can I have every woman in this house just stand up really quick? Anybody who's a lady, stand on up. Stand on up. Girls, stand on up over there. Listen, I just want to tell you, maybe you haven't had kids. Maybe you have never had your own child. Maybe you've had 15 children. Each of you, maybe you're too young yet to have your own kids. Can I just say thank you, though, to the women of this house for loving and mentoring, like Heather said, the next generation and the generation in front of you. Do you know without you, look around, without you, we would not be. Expression Church would not be what it is. People that you are in community with every day in your life would not be where they are without you. Because of your investment of faith, because you believed the best, because you spoke life over someone, someone's life was changed in the midst of your life. Because you said yes to Jesus and you said yes to loving people. So this morning, can everybody who's sitting down just give a big round of applause for the women of Expression Church? Hey, hey, you guys can go ahead and sit down. Thank you. I'm sending you really big hugs up here from the front. I wish I could hug each and every one of you. And if you want to come hug me afterwards, I love to give hugs to people. So I'm just really, 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 really proud of you this morning. But as we were talking about Mother's Day, Maloof was like, hey, you're going to preach. I was like, oh, okay. I wonder what I'm going to say. And he's like, yeah, we're on the influencer series. So if you could pick something from there. And I was like, oh, okay. So I was praying about it. And all of a sudden, one day, Maloof and I, we got away and we were praying about some other things. And God started talking to me about this guy, Gideon. And he reminded me of the story of when this guy like threw some wheat in the air and it fell down and he was hiding. And I really started thinking about this. And as I went to the Bible then and I read the whole story and he was like, that's what I want you to preach on this morning. And I was like, well, God, it's not about a woman. I'm like, there's so many amazing women in the Bible I could preach on. I'm like, there's Esther, there's Sarah, there's Deborah. There's like, you go on and on. There's Mary and Mary Magdalene. And there's so many women. And he's like, nope, I have a word for people. Because today we honor mothers, but how do you know when you come to the house of God, it's for everyone. Everybody gets in on it. And this morning, the word that I have from you is out of Judges, but it's also in our influencer series. And because my husband knows me, sometimes I don't do things in order. So the next one actually in our series was supposed to be Noah, but I sort of skipped ahead to the very end and found this guy, Gideon. So this morning, will you just pray with me? And then we're going to figure out what God wants to say. Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for your love. We thank you for always showing up. We thank you for always being faithful. And we thank you that this morning we're here on purpose because you have something to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what got me on this whole story in the first place was this idea of threshing wheat. And some of you are like, I don't even know what that is. So let me just give you a picture. Before we had machines that did it for us, they would put wheat, kernels of wheat, like on the ground, and they would throw it up in the air, and some wind would hit it, and the chaff would blow off. That was the hope. And the wheat would fall to the ground. And they would do it over and over and over again until all you had left were these little tiny parts of pure grain with nothing left on it, and all the other extra stuff would blow off it, and then you'd have this giant basket of this wheat. But you had to do it over and over and over and over again. It was quite the process that kept happening. So as I was thinking about this process, I was like, isn't that just like God? For me, I would just like to skip to the end. Hence, I skipped straight to Gideon. I don't want to go through the process of throwing the wheat 10 gazillion times. I would prefer if God would just say, throw the wheat, here's your life, now go forward. But instead, he goes, throw the wheat, here's a small little glimpse. And then it falls to the ground and he says, oh, throw the wheat, and here's another small little kernels that are going to fall to the ground, and now you can use that. And then throw the wheat again, and here's a little bit more. But my personality is like, God, please. What is wrong with this? Why do I have to keep throwing it in the air for it to only drop a few kernels at a time? Can't you just, like, can I just be done? And then I started reading the story of Gideon, and I'm going to show you what this means as we loop through it this morning. But I just want to tell you a little bit about Israel during this time. So we're talking from the book of Judges this morning, chapter 6 and 7. And during this time, Israel... It's a theme with them. Once again, they had abandoned God. So once again, they were like, God, who? We're serving all the idols. We don't even know. We don't believe God anymore. We think all these fake gods and cows and other things is really it. And they had abandoned God. And they were under so much pressure because a group called the Midianites had come and taken over their land. So they were pretty much, the Bible describes it as they were toast. They were hiding in rocks. They were hiding in caves. This other group of people had come in and taken all of their food, all of their land, all of their cattle, all their sheep. They had nothing. The Bible describes it like as locusts that had come and literally taken, stripped everything from them. And once again, as we know, the Israelites were like, oh, maybe we should call out to God. Oh, I know. I think we're going to do this again. So once again, they were like, oh, God, where have you gone? We're so sorry. You abandoned us, but you didn't abandon us. We abandoned you. But hey, by the way, could you come and help us? And once again, God was like, guys, hello. How many times have we done this? You know, okay, I'm going to have mercy on you once again. So hence brings us fast forward to a guy named Gideon. So we're going to just read this morning, Judges 6, 11 through 23. It's where we're going to pick up. So then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath a great tree, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing the wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are the miracles our ancestors told us about? And didn't they say, 'The Lord brought us up out of Egypt'? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." "But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family." The Lord said to him, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." Gideon replied, "If you are truly going to help me, show me a sign and prove it, that it's really the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away till I come back, and I'm going to bring my offering to you," he answered. "I'll stay here until you return." Gideon hurried home. He cooked a young goat with a basket of flour. He baked some bread without yeast. Then carrying the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, he brought it out and presented it to the angel who was under a great tree. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Place the meat and the unleavened bread on this rock and pour broth over it." And Gideon did as he was told. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and bread with the tip of the staff of his hand. The fire flamed up from the rock, consumed all that he had brought, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized it was an angel of the Lord, he cried out, "Oh, sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." "It's all right," the Lord replied. "Don't be afraid. You will not die." So that was it. So Gideon, as we see, he like had this crazy encounter. He was in this wine press hiding, first of all, right? Mind you, hiding, because the other Midianite army was literally taking over everything. And he was there, and he's like, "God, how can this happen?" And obviously God was like, "Hey, you're the guy who's going to deliver it." And as the story goes on, he's like, "Okay, I'm the guy. Wow, I'm the guy. Okay, God, I'm the guy." And as the story moves forward, all of a sudden Gideon is like blowing this horn, collecting men, because he's like, "We're going to fight the army." 32,000 men show up, and he's like, "Yes, not quite as much as the enemy who had 135,000, but he's like, 32,000, we're off to a good start. 33,000, we're off to a good start. We're off to a good start. God, you can do this. You showed up. There was a rock, and I put some stuff on it, and then this guy, he singly touched it, burned away. Okay, you called me. I'm a hero. I kind of forgot that, but that's right. So now we're moving forward. I got these guys. We're ready to go. We're going to go fight the army." And all of a sudden, the Lord says, "Oh, hi. By the way, I'm going to have you throw that wheat in the air again, because your plan that you thought dropped, just go ahead, throw that. Throw it up. And now I'm going to change plans on you, because actually what I want you to do is, now this is too many men to fight, because if you win, they're all going to think that it was them. It was by their strength. So we don't want that to happen." God's telling Gideon this. Can you imagine? I'd be like, wait, what are you talking about? We have 32,000 men. They still have 135,000 men. I'm thinking it's not going to be on our own strength. So please just let me go with my 32,000. And he's like, "Nope." He goes, "What I really want you to do is tell all those men, if they're afraid, they get a free pass. They can go home." I'm thinking, that's really dumb. I would raise my hand and say, "Yep, I'm out. Thanks. You giving me a free pass? I am going home. This war thing is not for me." So he's like, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to throw the wheat in the air, and we're going to land somewhere." So he does it, ends up with 10,000 men. He's like, "Okay, 10,000. We could still do something with 10,000. I love Gideon. He's like, "All right, 10,000, no problem. Okay, but, you know, God, I'm not quite sure. So if you're wanting us to go," he does this other little test. He's like, "I'm just going to put out this lamb's wool here. And if it's wet in the morning, just the wool, I'm going to say, good to go, it's you. And then, but if it's dry, I'm going to be like, nope, we're tapping out." And so he puts this lamb's wool out, and he's like, woke up in the morning, it's wet. He's like, "Oh, is that you? Everywhere else is dry, but just the little piece of lamb's wool, he's wet." He's like, "Okay, God, that must be you. He's like, oh, just one more thought, though. Could we just try that one more time? Because I'm still not seeing how this math is going to work out for me. So this time, I know I said I would trust you, but I'm just going to put it out one more time, and this time the reverse. If you could make the lamb's wool dry and everywhere around it wet, that would be really great. Then I could trust you. He does that, and he's like, oh, you answered that one too? Oh, so we're going with now 10,000. That's great. And then God says, oh, well, just one moment. Could you throw that wheat back up in the air one more time? And he's like, what? He's like, yeah, because, you know, you can't go with 10,000. If I were in at that moment, I'd be like, can I still go back to be the one who's afraid? Can I be part of the 22,000, please? I'd like to tap out right here and give my post over to someone else. But Gideon goes, are you sure? And God's like, yeah, come on, trust me. She's like, okay. Threw the wheat. He didn't actually throw the wheat, but that's my example. Basically, in our life, we throw it up in the air, right? Here it lands. God goes, okay, this is what we're going to do with your 10,000. Anybody, you're going to go down to that river right there. And anybody who drinks with their hands is going to be one group, and anyone who gets on their hands and knees and just sticks their faces right in that river, they're going to be another group. So could you imagine Gideon thinking, what is going on? And I'm sure the men at this moment are thinking, wait, what is going on? First of all, you just sent 22,000 people home, and now there's 10,000 of us. Can I go back with the 22,000? Because I'm seeing that the odds aren't very good here. And all of a sudden, now you want us to go and drink? What is happening? We're supposed to be fighting a battle. We're drinking out of a river? I don't even understand. So the men go down. And the Bible says that 300 men drank with their hands. And if you do the math, that's 9,700 that drank with their faces. And now all of a sudden, God says, all of you who drank with your faces, bye-bye. You're free to go. You get a pass. Could you imagine being one of the 300 left, seeing your friends absolutely leave the camp, and you're thinking, wait, we're still fighting a battle? Wait, you still want us to go against the Midianites? Wait, I'm a little confused. So here they go. They're like so confused. I'm sure Gideon at this point, I don't know. He would have to be a total like Thor to not have his knees shaking, right? He's an Avenger if he's not afraid at this point. But here he is afraid, and he's like, God, I know that you called me a hero, and that you called me, and I told me, you know, you burnt up that thing on the rock for me, and then you showed me, like, you brought the men when I called them, but then you told me to send them home, and then I did that fleece thing, and you still said I was going to beat the Midianites. I don't really see how it's going to happen. Now I have 300 men, and God says, hey, one more time, throw the wheat in the air. And he goes, now I want you to go listen. Go stake out the camp. So they snuck down there in the middle of the night to the Midianite camp, and they're listening, and they were like, hey, when these two got dudes were having a conversation, and it went something like, hey, I had this dream that there was like this loaf of bread, and it came down and squished our tents. And I think what that means is that we're all going to die and that Gideon is going to win tomorrow. Literally, that was the dream. I'm thinking, you got all that out of a bread hitting a tent? I mean, that's amazing. And Gideon came back to camp. He's like, okay, we can do this again, right? So the story goes on, and Gideon takes his 300 men. He gives everyone a torch, and he gives everyone a torch that's like covered in this pot, and he gives everyone this horn, and he divides them up in three different groups of 100. So you got 100 here, 100 here, 100 here. They're surrounded the camp. He goes, here's the game plan, guys. Are you ready? When I blow my horn, we all crack our torches and we all blow our horns together. Sound good? That's what we're gonna do. And we're gonna yell really loud. Excuse me. If that were me, I'd be like, it's time for me to get off the crazy train. I don't even know. This does not sound, can I raise my hand? This does not sound like a good plan, teacher. I have some suggestions I would like to make at this point in time. But these men, I just love them. They were like, okay, let's go forward. So they did that. They banged their clay pots. The torches lit. They blew their horns. They yelled. And literally the entire Midianite army fought each other and everyone died. And Gideon and God won and the Israelites took over. And I'm like, holy cow, how does that happen? So as I was thinking about this whole thing and God was showing me about the wheat, I was like, what, God, couldn't you have just like told Gideon that when he first was like throwing the wheat in the air? Couldn't you have said, and by the way, here's the 15 things that are gonna happen to get you to that point, but you know, don't worry, you're gonna get there. And God was like, I do that all the time. I'm constantly telling you, but sometimes it's the process and the journey of the throwing of the wheat that we need that gets us to the next season and the next season and the next season, so that by the time we're standing around the army with 300 people only, that we can break those clay pots and know that it's not on our own strength, but that's on Jesus that we can accomplish all things. So this morning, I just have three really simple points for you as we're going through this, and three things I learned from Gideon, three things that God wants us to know as he's turning our weakness into strength. And this morning, can you throw up the Hebrews 11, 32? It says, this is out of our influencer series that Ryan, this says, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. And the next one. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weaknesses was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. So this morning, I was thinking about being an influencer and thinking about Gideon, and thinking about throwing the wheat, I realized it's our weaknesses that God wants to turn into strengths to become an influencer. So number one, this is what I love. God isn't afraid of our fear or our lack of faith. You know, sometimes in life we think we have to have it all together. Influencers, if I'm going to have influence, I have got to know what's happening. I got to know that I got everything put together. And I just want to say, I was so happy that Gideon was fearful. I've never been so happy in my life. I was like, oh God, he's fearful and he has a lack of faith. He like literally was hiding for his life. And he was questioning the Lord, heaven forbid. He literally sat there at the angel and was like, well, God, where have you been? Didn't you, like, aren't you the same God that took us out of Egypt? Where are you? Do you see where I'm standing today? I'm hiding, trying to get my food. Where are you today? And God wasn't worried about that. He literally went back and said, you're a hero, Gideon. You're a hero. I want to read the verse, Haggai 2:4. Says, but the Lord says, be strong. And I want you to put your name in here. But the Lord says, be strong, Dana, be strong. Be strong, all you people who are left in the land. And now get to work, for I am with you, says the Lord, the heaven's armies. And as I was reading that, I was like, you know, Gideon maybe was afraid, but the Lord always has an answer back. He maybe was fearful, but God always says, hey, don't be afraid. He's not afraid of our fear or our lack of faith, because he has heaven's armies available for us, who is willing to fight for us. And he's not afraid of the present situation that you're standing in, because he says, I want to use it as an opportunity to show my strength through your weakness. And I was like, thank God that Gideon wasn't afraid to ask God questions. Because I got 10 gazillion in my mind sometimes. And I'm like, really? We're trusting you. And you, what? I don't even understand what's happening here. Do you see? I read all these great things, but do you see where I'm standing today? And God's like, hey, throw your wheat. Throw your wheat. Throw your wheat. Throw your wheat. because I'm going to show you the next part. Number two, I love this part. God isn't afraid of our excuses. You know, so many times in life, we have so many excuses to disqualify ourselves. Gideon had a few. He said, by the way, my family, if you're looking at all the families in Israel right now, we're the weakest ones. And by the way, I'm the least in my family. Two strikes against me, you don't want to use me. That's my excuse. How many times do we do that? We disqualify what God had already called him a hero. God had already called him a mighty warrior. God had already said, hey, here's your destiny. And he comes back not only with fear, he comes back with an excuse. You're just kidding. I really can't do that. Do you see? I don't make enough money. I don't have enough education. I don't live in the right neighborhood. I don't have the right house. I don't drive the right car. How am I supposed to ever influence that person over there? God, I have excuses for days. Oh, I'm really tired. I'm feeling overwhelmed. You've given me too much to do. I have no hope. God, I don't know. I don't visit myself or see myself that way. And he yet stood there and said, you're a mighty hero, Gideon. Has anyone ever seen the movie? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Jumanji. It's one of my favorites with The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. And anyway, I was laughing because I was thinking in the moment, yes, Maloof. Dwayne Johnson in real life right there, people. I was thinking about this movie, and maybe some of you haven't ever seen it, but it's about a game. And in the new version of it, they go into this game, and it's this whole city that they're trying to save in another, like, dimension thing. They get sucked in through a video game. And in real lifetime, the four main characters, the main guy, he's a little bit nerdy. He's a little bit quirky. He probably wouldn't be the captain of the football team. And but he goes through this game, and when he pops out in the alternate universe in this game, he's The Rock, right? So we're talking two completely different people. And in the game, I don't know much about gaming, so this was all new to me, but in video gaming, they show strengths and weaknesses of characters sometimes. And so they were going through the strengths and weaknesses of the different characters. And, you know, the strength would be, one character would be run fast. Weakness would be cake. You explode when you eat cake. I mean, they were just like silly things like that. Weaknesses and strengths of these characters. And we come to this kid now who thinks, like, in real life, he's nothing. But now in this video game alternate universe, he's now The Rock. And he taps on his strengths and weakness. And it lists all of his strengths. And under weakness, it says none. And I'm like, that's how God sees us through his eyes. I'm like, we are all The Rock. We are all Dwayne Johnson. No, what's his name? Yes, that's his name. We are The Rock. I don't know his real name, The Rock. The fairy. He also played a fairy. Tooth fairy. That's how God sees us. I was like, the excuses. This kid had every excuse in the book, but all of a sudden now he's this superhero type character, and his strength says everything, and his weakness says none. And I was like, that's what God views us as when we are stepping in and walking in his strength. He views us as, we don't have a weakness because we're relying on God. When we rely on God, he's everything. He's already done it. He's already gone before us. He's already prepared the way. He's already made a way where it seems to be no way. He's already said yes to this and no to that. He already says, I'm going to provide for this. He already says, hey, you're going to maybe have some trouble with this, so I'm going to bring people alongside here. Our weaknesses are covered because God has every strength in the book. And I was like, oh my gosh, what if we all started viewing ourselves like that? Like this person who, when God says, you're a hero, we think, oh, we're a hero? You're calling me a hero? You're calling me a mighty warrior? You're calling me to do something that I didn't think I could do? Like, are you sure? And there's a verse, Psalm 28:7 in the Bible, it says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. And I was like, I'm not my own strength. I'm not my own shield. The Lord is our strength and shield. So when you're thinking about excuses now, you can just think about the rock and think, I'm out of excuses. God says my strengths are everything and my weaknesses are none when I'm found in him. So number three, this is our last point for the morning. Influencer understands that God isn't afraid of doubt. You know, Gideon, throughout the entire story, he had doubt over and over again. Not only did he have doubt when he was in that wine press hiding, I mean, he literally had doubt. An angel came and like touched a rock and fire came out of it and burnt up sacrifice. Hello. But then he doubted again. I'm thinking that would be a really good example for me. If you just want to go ahead and bring fire from the rock right now, when I pour all this stuff on God, I'm going to believe you for the rest of my life. But he didn't. He doubted again. And I find that comforting because how many know? That's me. Like, that's probably a lot of us in this room. We get one example and we're like, oh, but now I know you're bringing this, but I'm just going to put out a fleece, okay? Right here, God, if it's wet in the morning, all good. I'm going to believe you. And everywhere else is dry. Then we're in it. I'm in it to win it. We're going to do this. Fleece becomes wet. And Gideon's like, well, I know that's what I said, but can I just do one more with my doubt? Because I just kind of have a tiny bit left. So he throws it out again, you know, and it's like, now it's the opposite, God. You got that opposite. I want it dry and the ground wet. So he does that, and that happens. He's like, okay, we're going forward. I'm going to throw the wheat in the air. I just needed that to throw the wheat one more time because I can't quite see around the bend yet. So he says, okay, I'm going to move forward, and then now I'm stuck with these 300 men, and I know you said the angel. I know you've called me a mighty hero. I know that I shouldn't stand on my excuses. I know that I'm okay with my doubt and all of that, but I'm having a little more doubt because I can't really see the next toss, what's going to happen. He brings Gideon to overhear the conversation about the bread taking out the tent, and he's like, yes, one more thing. There's a verse that says, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. That's what I love. In my doubt, he says, just lean on me. I'm going to show you which path to take, because you're going to throw the wheat in the air. You're going to watch the kernels that land. You're going to watch the other frivolous stuff fly away, and this is where you're going to go. Here's your direction. Here's your path. Throw your wheat. And this is what I love. When Gideon finally got that point, how many examples of time and time and time and time again that Gideon, God was asking Gideon to throw his wheat and trust him for the next step. Throw his wheat and trust him for the next step. He says, you can do this. And Gideon finally laid down his doubt. And he said, God, I'm going to trust you because you direct my path. I'm going to read Hebrews 11:34 one more time. Quench the flames of fire. Escape death by the edge of a sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Do you know that God sees past all of our fears, all of our excuses, all of our doubts this morning? Because he's called you already a hero. He's already called you a mighty warrior. He knows you're going to throw that grain in the air a gazillion times, but that's his promise. He says, I'm going to turn your weaknesses that you think the enemy has brought into your life to destroy you. I'm going to bring those in, and I'm going to turn them to strengths because you are going to set whole armies to flight. You know, this morning, sometimes we can't see past our own anxiety. We can't see past our own fear. Sometimes we think, oh my gosh, I have suicidal thoughts. How is God ever going to use me? My God, I've done all of these laundry lists of things. God can't call me a mighty warrior. I live with shame. I live with doubt. People, if they only knew the real me, they'd see the fake me on the outside, and they'd never, ever follow me. How could I ever be an influencer? I'm so happy that God put this story of Gideon in the Bible, because it goes to show me that I don't have to have my act together. I don't have to have my ducks in a row. I don't actually have to have a plan for my entire life and have it all figured out. Sometimes I think, oh my God, I hardly know what I'm doing tomorrow. God, what are you doing? Like, I don't even know. He just says, throw the weight in the air. I already called you a mighty warrior. I already called you a hero. I already told you you're going to set millions of armies to flight, because your strength is not your own. Your strength is in me. And your weakness, that's nothing for me. You're like the rock. That's how I see you. Because my strength is actually made perfect in your weakness. And that is what I love about our God this morning. And as I was thinking about what I wanted to share, I was thinking about how so many of us disqualify ourselves. We disqualify what God wants to do. We disqualify with our fear, our doubt, our questions, and our excuses. And we think, there's no way. There's no way. You know, sometimes I think about moms, and if you're a mom, I'm sure you've had several feelings like this where you're like, dear God, I hope I don't screw up my kids. Oh, Jesus, help me. I don't even know if I'm making the right decision right now. Ooh, I barked at them, and I probably shouldn't have barked, but I was a little irritated. So, you know, oh, I hope I didn't ruin that friendship. Oh, am I really enough over there? Can I really do what I believe you've called me to do? I don't know, God, there's just so many different things, and I'm juggling so much right now. And it's like he took a moment today in the Life of Expression Church to say, just stop. Let me just show you about this guy, Gideon, who I found hiding, throwing wheat in the air. Tell you, my warrior, you're going to send thousands of armies to fight, because I believe in you. I believe in your future. I believe there's a plan. I believe that you're here on purpose. I believe that it's not by mistake. Because this morning, God isn't afraid how many times you throw that wheat in the air. He doesn't care. He's just happy you're throwing and relying on him and not on your own strength. Because sometimes we think, oh God, I've thrown it like 500 million times. And he's like, it's okay, throw it again. I'm going to show you your next step. It's okay. Throw it again, because today it's going to take care of itself, and tomorrow it's going to take care of itself. Just throw the wheat. Be like Gideon. You're a mighty hero. I trust you. You're going to set armies to flight, and nothing is impossible when I turn your weakness into my strength. So this morning, maybe you're here for the first time, and you're like, I don't even know this Jesus, or this story, or this God that this person is even talking about on the stage. But, oh my word, he thinks I'm a hero? He thinks that I might be able to do something with my life, and he's not afraid of my questions? He's not afraid that I, like, have a million excuses in my back pocket to disqualify myself? He's not afraid of that? This morning, I just want to invite you, if you've actually never met this God that thinks you're amazing and can actually do it, can you just bow your heads with me this morning? If that's you this morning, could you just throw up a hand real quick? Because I'm going to pray for you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. I see your hand. We're saying yes to Jesus. Jesus, could you just all repeat this after me? Jesus, I thank you. You're not afraid of my sin. You're not afraid of my excuses. You're not afraid of my doubt. But you love me. You've forgiven me. You see a strength in me because of you. God, this morning, I give you my weakness, and I ask you to fill my heart with your strength. There's a second set in here this morning that maybe you feel like Gideon. Like, oh, God, I just got to throw the wheat. And maybe you, you know, have a fear and doubt and excuses, and you exclude yourself from any sort of formula because you're thinking, nope, I'm not worth it. I have had thoughts of suicide. How could God use me? I've wanted to end my life. How could God use me? I have wanted to backstab every one of my friends. How could God use me? I have a really bad attitude with my boss. How could God use me? I'm anxious all the time. How could God use me? Some days I really don't like my spouse. Can God still use me? Some days I don't really even love my children. Can God still use me? I just want to put this out there. Could y'all stand with me? God wants to use you this morning. And this morning, he's here to break off the lie that with your weakness, you've ruined it for him. Because if that's the case, Gideon wouldn't have won the battle with 300 men. If that's the case, the story and the end of the story would be completely different. But he literally won the battle with 300 men without raising a sword. All he did was bang a clay pot and show some light and blow a horn and yell. And the battle was won. In the midst of his fear, in the midst of his questions, in the midst of his doubt. I love that. So this morning, if that's you, if you feel like, wow, that is me. God, I need to throw my wheat in the air again, and I need you to show me which step you need me to take. I need you to show your faithfulness. I need you to call me a mighty hero. I need you to call me a warrior. I need you to call me how you see me with all my strength because I'm in you this morning. If that's you, could you just raise your hand? Listen, I'm raising my hand right along with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Church, we are not holding back because of a weakness or a fear or a question or a doubt, but we're going to be that army, like Gideon said. We're going to break our vases, and we're going to have a light shine. We're going to blow a horn, and we're going to be part of the mighty 300, that it wasn't by our own strength, but it was in our weakness that he was revealed. It was in our weakness that he was made strong. It was in our weakness that set armies to flight. It was in our weakness that we laid our hands on people and watched them recover. It was in our weakness that we saw victory after victory after victory in our families. It was in our weakness that we said yes to him at every turn. It was in our weakness that we threw that wheat in the air one more time and said, God, no matter how it lands, no matter how it lands, no matter how it lands, I'm going to follow you. Even when I can't see it, no matter how it lands, in my weakness, you're made strong. As we end with this song, it says, open up and surrender. God, we want you to be the strength. We need you to be the strength of our life. Not on our own accord, but this morning, God, we need you to be the strength. We need you to show us where to go. So Jesus, today as a church, we confess with our mouth that you are Lord. We confess with our mouth that you see us as mighty warriors. We confess with our mouth, God, all those things that we can't even see in ourselves yet, because you call us a hero. So God, this morning, as we surrender to you, as we let you be the strength, and we say, let you have the way in our life, God, we lay it down, our fears, our doubts, our excuses, and we surrender to you in Jesus' name.
Deeper, Lord, I will open up again. I'll throw my fears into the wind. Yes, I am.